Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time again. Boy, we got some people raring to go today here. They're bugging me. Get on the air. Let's go. So let's go with John Gutierrez and our community.
Welcome, everybody, again to our community podcast show powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, John Gutierrez, Senior Vice President here. And with us today, we have two new members of our chamber. We met last week at a ribbon cutting, and they both wanted to join our chamber. And we're so excited to have both Nancy Acuña and Melly Trottier.
Trottier.
Nancy Acuña is a realtor and office manager at RE/MAX One Luxury. And Melly is a senior consultant at Integrity Financial. And they're both like best of friends. They've known each other for 10 years almost. Okay. And so we just thought it would be great if they both came on the show and shared with us who they are. So welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you, John.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, it's so funny. You guys were like jumping, dancing before the show started.
Now that they're so excited, yeah. They're ready to jump on the stage.
And as soon as the camera goes on, they're like,
we're professionals.
They're like,
you gotta keep it professional.
You might want to put the mic up a little higher.
Oh, yeah. Let's get her mic up. How about if we turn her mic on?
There you go. Thank
you. Can you hear me?
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay.
Paul's falling asleep on the wheel. Come on, Paul. Let's go.
You guys are pushing me too hard here.
First and foremost, thank you for joining our chamber. It was really a pleasure to meet you guys last week, and just good energy at the ribbon cutting, right? Did you guys have a good time?
It was wonderful. Yeah,
we had a great time.
Yeah.
Good networking, right?
Great networking.
We met amazing people. I think I made quite a few connections that day.
Yeah. That's, and I think amazing. Both of you might have taken a picture and met our good friend Mitch Gaylord.
Yes.
Who's a gold medalist, gymnastic guy that rarely comes to our events. He's really busy. So I'm so glad that Mitch was able to make it out. And there was just a good crowd, right? And so we want to share a little bit about you all and who you are and what you do. So start off, either one of you, tell us a little bit about yourselves.
My name is Melly. As you mentioned, I'm a mom. I'm an educator. I serve the community by educating them on estate planning, trying to make it as simple as possible for everyone to set up their trusts and just kind of take the pain out of that activity. It's daunting.
Yeah. We own a hospice company. Everybody knows that. We often talk about it. And the trust is such an important component. We'll get into that a little bit later. When we do hospice paperwork, there's a living will, everything, trust that's in there. And plays such a huge role what you do. So thank you for what you're doing.
Of course.
Nancy, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so my name is Nancy Acuña, as you mentioned, and I am a mother of three. So my oldest, believe it or not, is 27 years old, down to 22, and then my 11-year-old. So yes, I know. And my background actually is accounting. So I started with accounting since I was 18 years old, and I took a leap of faith and started doing real estate 13 years ago.
Nice.
I manage an office in Newport Beach, right in the corner of Vialito. Started with 12 agents. Now I have 52 agents.
Congratulations.
And thank you. And I also sell as well, and I also serve the community and do what I can.
Let's give a shout out to the husbands, huh? Both of them that are hopefully watching.
I'm single.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
I am not single. I am married.
That doesn't mean her ex isn't watching.
Hey, you never know.
Lido is such a nice area, right? It's just beautiful. I know one of my buddies has not one of these huge yachts, it's a small boat, but he often goes there with all of his modern day high school family there, that his kids.
My daughter went to modern day.
Really?
Yes.
No way. Yeah, one of our longtime members, Jorge Martinez, owns a big construction company and does very well for himself. He actually won an award at Estrella Awards, and I think two of his kids, or three maybe, are at Modern Day right now.
That's amazing. Great.
Yeah, great
Modern
school.
Modern Day's a fantastic school.
Yes.
So Nancy and I met 9 years ago. Her youngest daughter and my son were in the same grade, same class.
Oh.
And they were best friends.
And what school was that at the time?
St. Joachim.
Oh, okay. And they both ended up going to Modern Day.
No, they're not there yet. They're still little.
Oh, they're still little.
11 years old. We're getting there.
I think you're going to have to restart the interview here.
Yes,
I
know. Let's start over.
You're getting it all wrong here.
You know what? We mentioned before the show, this is the first time in the history of our show. I think we've been doing the show almost, 3 years?
A couple years, yeah.
I think we've had close to almost 300 guests. This is the first time we have two businesses together at the same show, because obviously you guys are good friends.
Yes.
Almost 10 years. What's that been like for you guys, your friendship? What do you think is the benefit of that? I'm sure you've had some challenges too.
I will start with that.
Wow. We're going to get into it now.
She's ready. Maybe we should get into the business aspect of this.
How long do we have?
Yeah.
No, our friendship's been great. We've always been there to support each other. There's times that we do disappear. She understands that I have a, you know, business life and my personal life, and then I understand that she has other stuff going on. And I'm not her only friend, unfortunately.
What? That's not what she told me. She said you're her only friend.
No, we both understand each other. The good thing about friends is that you're able to just turn off for a little bit and just go do your own thing and come back a month later and reconnect, right? That's a friendship where you could start from where you ended the last time. So I think that we really...
And we're always evolving as people.
It's true.
So since 2004, I've worked in finance in different capacities. So I was a lender.
Okay.
I did residential, commercial, reverse mortgages, construction loans, all of those things. And Nancy and I, at that time, we collaborated together and had a work synergy. So we've always been intertwined with one another, both personally and professionally. Mm-hmm.
Reverse mortgage, that's a big thing in the senior community that a lot of people may or may not know about, right?
Why are you looking at me, John, when you
say that? Great
First of all, I didn't look at you, but we do have a senior citizen in the room.
Are you 62 or over?
Yes.
See?
Now she's interested. Okay.
She's like, Sign them up. Do you have a trust? That's the most important
thing. I do. We just set one up this year, and it was very complex, and it was very confusing.
Yes.
I wish I had known somebody to...
Yes.
Maybe share about that. She's great
at that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know what? We go out in the community and we educate the residents. We host events to anywhere from 2 to 6 times a month in different communities where we dispel the confusion. We really make it easy to understand.
Why do you think it's confusing? I know.
I'll tell you why I thought it was confusing.
Okay.
I thought it's only if you got multi-millions of dollars. Right. This isn't just for regular people. And then it became clear when my parents passed away a number of years ago, left me a house. Oh, my God. You don't want to go through probate.
Yeah, you don't want to go through probate. Nancy?
Other than insurance, which you can get immediately, but you got expenses to pay, their bills and things to do. And all of a sudden, the money's locked up, and it's a year or two, and I got to hire an attorney to go to court and do all this? No.
Yeah, the average price of a home in Orange County is about $2 million. Yeah. So you're looking at about $66,000 in probate fees. So your heirs are going to have to write a check, not to mention you have court fees, you have other legal fees.
Yes.
As he mentioned, the accounts are locked. You can't access the funds to write checks to pay the bills, and the bills still keep coming. And more importantly, it's like everyone has a plan. You have your plan or the government has a plan. They're your silent partner. And unfortunately, it's a lot easier to take advantage of the dead because they don't have a voice.
We were actually just talking about this yesterday because we had a scenario that we were going through. And it's just amazing that a lot of people think that they don't have to have a trust because they don't have a home. So I think it's very important to educate the community.
That's myth number one. I don't have enough money, I don't qualify. And if you are 18 and over, you qualify because guess what? Something could happen to your adult children and you don't have the authority, you don't have the healthcare directive, power of attorney, those types of things in place. And it's a lot easier when things are in place and lined up as opposed to the emergency happens and now you're scrambling.
I think it's interesting because obviously you're on our Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce show, and a lot of viewers or listeners may be their business owners. And I remember when we started our business 15 years ago, and I had business partners, and they were my, per se, investors. One of my business partners, investors, said, I won't go in business with you until you have these things set up. And I was like, what? They were like, well, yeah, John, because I was like, the work could be behind everything, of putting it all together and building it. And they said, if something happens to you, then where's our investment, right? Where does it go? We lose all this money. You're the face of the business. You're the one out there marketing. You're the one that wanted to do this. We're going to give you this much money. You need to have this in place. And I had to go out and get all that set up, life insurance, trust, like all these things. If not, they wouldn't be in business with me. It's interesting. A lot of business owners probably don't know that or don't ever
think about it.
Right? And can I throw in one more, and then I'll shut up here?
It's okay. We love hearing you.
All right.
No, don't tell him that, please.
We don't love hearing you.
When my wife's mother died, she didn't have a lot of money. There was a house, a small house back east. But there were all these mementos and keepsakes, grandma's ring, this and that.
That's true.
And I saw the three sisters get into such a fight.
Wow.
Mom said I could get the ring. No, she said it was, no, she told me that was my ring.
Oh, wow.
And had they had a trust, more than a will, there's somebody third party would say, here, you get the ring, you get the china, you get this. There'd be some, would be a clear indication of what mom wanted to do with these.
Were you caught up in that whole thing?
Oh, because I'm trying to mediate between three sisters who normally get along, and suddenly they're grieving and they're upset, and we're all in a pissing match over who gets a china bowl.
Wow. And you were just like, I just want my dad.
I'm an only child. So
you're like, I just want my dad's hat. Leave me alone.
Yeah, I was an only child, so I didn't have to go through that. But I see other siblings get into, and now you compound that with multiple marriages, multiple kids.
Right.
Oh my God, this thing gets to be ugly.
That's an A-B trust, by the way.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, but going back to what you said, usually what we'll do is advise the clients to take pictures of the items and put them in the trust with on the back of the photo who the item is going to go
smart.
To.
I never realized all the items that, and then how does that happen then? Is it as you accumulate things? Let's say I set up mine 15 years ago.
That's right.
I have to update it, I'm sure, right?
Restatement. Yeah, absolutely.
And it wasn't
that really nice
the,
record player I just bought a couple years ago.
It wasn't based on the money or the value. That's what you assume everybody's going to fight over because it's worth a lot. The cars. Mm-hmm. People fought more over the sentimental stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
We could do a whole show on this.
I think so.
Absolutely.
That's what I told her. She needs her own show.
I think we got a couple of spin-off podcasts.
Yeah, we knew I needed my own show.
Oh, please. Here we go.
Uh-oh. Nancy, she's trying to take all the spotlight away from you.
I love that. I love that. I'm okay with that.
Shut up already. Let me talk.
No, no. People can see me on Instagram.
No,
I think this is an act, though. I think that plays better as an act if they play off of each other here.
Yeah, I think that's why you're good friends, right? Because in this industry, he just made a perfect example of his situation with his family. There was a home involved, right? That was left to their family. You're in real estate, so both play hand to hand, right?
It just works. Yeah.
Yes. Going forward in the future, the way that I envision my business is partnering with realtors and educating them so that they can educate their clients and we can protect more people's assets for their legacy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know we mentioned earlier the whole reverse mortgage, right? Like how that plays such a huge role for people when they're elderly and they run out of, let's say, financial stability.
That's right.
And they need to pull money out of the home.
Yeah.
To now, so now they go maybe to a realtor or their realtor that they have a relationship with that they know and say, hey, we're facing this hardship because my loved one unfortunately has cancer now. We see that a lot in hospice where somebody's going through a hardship financially because they might be elderly and they're facing a death situation coming up. And now they do need to do a reverse mortgage on the house so they can use it to pay caregivers, go to a boarding care and assisted living, get some more help.
It's unbelievable how expensive care is.
Oh, yeah.
Very expensive.
Mm-hmm. I have a client and she's so lovely. I just love this couple so much. Mm. And she's a great daughter. I hope that one of my daughters is like this. She takes care of her mom. Her mom's 94 and she's depleting her retirement to have 24-hour care for her mom.
Oh, yeah. 24-hour care can go up to $20,000 a month.
Oh, yeah. It's very expensive. Yeah.
And the assumption is that somebody else is going to pay Medicare or somebody else is going to pay. Nobody else is going to pay. There is nobody.
Well, there's programs out there like ours in hospice. There's certain things we cover, medical equipment, pharmacy, the care. We go in and out of the home. We're not there 24/7. That's where people have the misled that, oh, someone's going to be here all the time. No, you got to hire a private caregiver to be at the bedside because maybe people have to go to work and they can't be there with their moms or dads, unfortunately, right?
One more reason to have a trust, because as my dad declined and he lived to be in his 90s, thank goodness, but those last couple of years a little rough and he's living by himself out in the house and it became obvious that I might have to put him in some sort of facility.
Yeah,
I don't have the money. He doesn't have the money. We would take the house, but it's his house. I can't sell his house. So as a trustee, I could make those decisions, hard decisions, if I had to. Even if he said, no, don't sell my house or whatever. There's lots of these discussions we're not ready for.
Do you get people in real estate that want to do like reverse mortgages?
Or here and there, but mostly they go to a lender. But I always tell clients to really look up who they're using. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of extra fees that are not necessary. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people that take advantage of that.
That's one thing I will say in our friendship. We're both fee sensitive. I think of my client's wallet like I think of my own wallet.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good because a lot of people get sometimes taken advantage of.
Absolutely. Especially our elder community.
Yes. Exactly.
I want to be able to go to sleep at night, and I do believe karma.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What you put out there, it's going to come back. So having integrity and being honest, I think it's a big thing.
Yeah. I look at myself as, I guess, somewhat of like their guardian angel.
Yeah.
I'm put in this role because I have a soft spot for our older community, and I want to make sure that they're protected and someone's looking out for them.
What was the reason behind both of you entering these careers, if you can share a little bit about that?
I'll let Nancy go first.
Yeah, because you already talked all day.
Wow. This is
I'm kidding. I love you.
No pulling the hair here, please. No fighting.
We got past Ola, right?
We did get past Ola. I was like nervous. I was going to say just Ola and that was it. So basically, actually, my father-in-law was in real estate, and an ex-boyfriend of mine was also in real estate that he was trying to get me into. And he used my face and putting all flyers. I'm like, is that okay to do?
Yeah.
He started getting a lot of calls. I was like, what?
Your face on his flyers?
Yes, he did on that.
Paul, let's move on, Paul.
Illegal.
She was on a bus stop.
I wouldn't say, you mean the photo was on the bus stop. Don't say she was on a bus stop.
Here we go. Getting all serious now. Anyway.
Tell her, when you were talking, we were all serious.
I know. We were serious. We were like,
As soon as we get into your career, she's cracking jokes. Huh? What's going on?
Exactly. It's okay. I crack jokes all the time.
She might have to buy you lunch.
No, she's going to buy me lunch.
Do you remember what I said when I walked in?
Yes.
So you entered the industry
when I got my first house, right? So my father-in-law was supposed to help me. Unfortunately, he passed away. And I saw the help. It's a close person in my life that helped me. But I saw what was being done and how the service is being offered. I wish I was guided a lot more in detail than what I was offered. I went into the house. Things come up. Didn't even know I had a home warranty. Didn't even know a lot of stuff that I paid out of my pocket. Said, I'm going to become that realtor that's going to be at service. Even if the client doesn't use me, I'm going to be a service because I want that to go around. I want them to see what a realtor should be, right? Mm-hmm. I wanted to do it for a long time since I was 18. Fear always stopped me. Having my babies, all that stuff, and being in accounting, thinking that's where I was meant to end my career. I still wanted to keep growing. I met other people in my life that I saw them growing. I'm like, you know what? Why can't I do it? I could do it. So I took my test. In 3 months, I already had my license. I was breastfeeding and doing everything that I needed to do in my breaks at night.
And getting your license is not that easy from what I hear. It's pretty challenging, right?
A lot of people cheat. I'm that kind of person that has to read that whole book. Yeah. And because I want to know that I'm doing the right job for my clients.
Yes.
And they just study the questions. And I'm like, no, I'm going to read the full books.
Yeah, that's good. Congratulations.
I've been always like that. And I think that's why it takes me longer to do things because I want to do it right? And so once I passed my test, I started selling, not right away. It was hard. I even did my whole backyard patio. I'm like, honey, I'm going to get a $20,000 check soon. Nothing happened. I'm like, what is going on? So note to self, don't spend before you have the money in your bank account. And being in accounting, I should have known that. But I got super excited.
The fact that you're in Newport also is a good thing. Newport is just such a great area to be selling homes, right?
Right. I work with a bunch of different people, different diversities, different locations, not only Newport.
Yeah.
It's all over Orange County. I even drive to Riverside if I have to.
Yeah. Riverside's booming right now.
Referrals are important for me. That's why it's important for me to provide a great service because that's how referrals happen. Yeah. I really never paid for leads or anything like that. So business just comes to me.
That's great.
Thank God.
A lot of that industry is by somebody else referred
word of
you,
mouth.
Right?
Word of mouth. It's a hard job.
Or apparently flyers on faces on flyers.
That I haven't done that now, but
no, she said the bus stop.
I just had to go there.
Right? She's never going to forget that. Just saying.
That
girl,
is Mel.
You said on the podcast that I was at a bus stop.
I must have said something that she's throwing it back at me. Whatever.
No, because you told her you took forever talking on the podcast. Mean, that's what it was, right?
That's what she does. I'm kidding.
So I don't want to run out of time here, but tell us how you ended up in your industry, please.
So as I mentioned, I started in finance in 2004. I was through the refi boom. Then rates went up. Or the market actually exploded.
Yeah.
And then I flipped and went into retirement planning. So that was in 2008. And then I went back into lending when the rates dropped down and it was unbelievable. I was the queen of reverse mortgages. Those were my people.
Oh, so that's good.
I had a lot of fun doing that. And rates went back up. My pipeline deteriorated.
Yeah.
And I went right back into retirement planning. Okay. So multi-licensed, and it was probably the best advice, actually, that anyone in my career has ever given me. I met sometimes guardian angels come through, and I met this girl at the Surf and Sand, and she said, you need to get another license because you need to be able to do, you know, to switch gears when the rates go up and everything slows down.
Makes sense.
So, yeah, that's how that happened, and I love what I do. I love my clients. I love educating. Originally, I wanted to be a professor. So it kind of aligns with what I wanted to do. And I've taught finance. I taught a finance class at Vanguard, which is my alma mater.
They're one of our members. Yeah.
Vanguard's great school. Amazing.
Great school. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Good people come from that school.
If you ever needed to go to a senior center, Paul over here attends a senior center.
I'm always just hanging around.
He's always
hanging out with you, Paul. Paul, I'm always hanging around senior centers too.
Hang out with him as he's getting his little tray with food.
I know.
That's me.
Do you own a house?
I do.
Mel, do you own a house? Yeah.
What's next for you all? What is it that your passion? What do you guys want to do with your careers? What would you say?
Podcasts. Obviously, this is going to
Yes.
They're going to have their own podcast show?
I've been thinking the blonde and the brunette.
We're going to call it Las Amigas or something,
there you
right?
go. Las Dos Amigas.
You know, educating or getting them prepared for, you know, financial literacy should start young. I was a Girl Scout troop leader and we were, you know.
That makes sense where she gets this whole financial literacy. Mm-hmm. She's the CEO, remember, Paul, on our podcast.
Of the Girl Scouts was in here.
She's amazing.
And when she, off the air, we talked a little bit about, man, the Girl Scouts, they're a powerhouse.
They are.
A powerhouse.
Those cookies?
Yes. The kind of money it generates, a lot of people don't realize.
Unbelievable.
Yes. So you're a Girl Scout. Okay.
I was, yes. That's that great. Was a lot of fun.
Maybe that's where you picked up a lot of the entrepreneurship the drive.
Why does nobody, do you also had Experian in here? They talked about the financial literacy. Yeah. Nobody teaches. I didn't know anything about money when I was a kid.
I mentor actually a few of my clients' kids, adult kids.
Oh, it's good.
I have a one Saturday a month, and I'll jump on a Zoom.
There you go.
And they're the next generation. They're going to inherit.
How
so
can
much
they
wealth.
Find you? How can they find you if they wanted to join that Zoom or like mentorship program that you're doing for financial literacy?
The best way is probably on Instagram to message me. So
okay. And what is it?
The Melly, M-E-L-L-I-E, Trottier, T-R-O-T-T-I-E-R.
Okay. Share yours too, please.
Mine is Nancy Acuna.
Is it with the little Acuña or is it just by itself?
Well, you can't do the Acuña in Instagram.
Okay.
I have my phone here real quick. Let me just check because I shouldn't know this. It's Nancy Acuña Realtor.
Okay.
Yeah, I just changed it. That's why I can't remember. But for me, I would say real quick, just continue to grow as an individual. Continue to grow the office. Continue to be a mentor to our realtors. And also just meeting new people, right? Trying to see how could I help other people in the community to understand the real estate and how to become how to grow their portfolio. Because that's really important. That's where we both come in.
So I took my first rental application when I was 7. So my family owned real estate. And I remember the 1st and the 15th were really exciting times because the rent checks would come in. And I can remember what that did to my brain when the envelope with the check for the rent would flew through the mailbox into the house. And I learned a lot. I mean, repairs, I showed apartments, I cleaned apartments.
Yeah.
And so my entrepreneurial side really started young.
Yeah. It's like having your own, what is it, management company, right?
Yeah, sure.
Managing all your real estate. And I hear all that from friends that are multiple owners of businesses, how when you have renters, all the challenges and all that, right? And it's part of owning a real estate. It's like a business, right?
It is.
It's a management business, right? If you could say that's giving you residual income.
It is.
It's funny that you say that because I've always been in sales, if I may say, because my grandpa owned his business and my grandma used to sell Mary Kay. I used to go knock at the doors at 8 years old selling Mary Kay. My grandpa had his candies and he used to deliver the tortillas and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And grandma would give me the candy bag. I would put it in my backpack and that would be that girl. Hey, where's the candy girl? Where's the candy girl? Oh. So I would make about, back in the day, $100 a week. Yeah. I would put that money under my mattress.
And back then, that was a lot.
That was a lot. Yeah. I bought my mom was single mom, so I'm a twin. And so I bought my own bunk bed, our TV. Little did I know that my twin sister was kind of grabbing here and there. Yep. And I'm like, I have this much money, because I would come home and recount everything.
Don't outdate yourself and start saying, I had my own DVD, CD player.
Right. Walkman.
I bought my own Walkman and beeper.
I don't even know what a Walkman is.
It's funny you mentioned Mary Kay, because the other day my wife and I were talking about how my mom just loved the Mary Kay like face creams.
Yeah.
And I remember she'd always be like, mijo, ponte esta crema. It's so good. And it was like this, it was really good. Good stuff.
Oh, I've been using lotions since I was like really young. Yeah. So no, that's another story.
But Mary Kay is such a big, I guess you could say, a starting entrepreneurship program for many of our tias and, you know, men in our culture that are just trying to start a little gig, right? Make some side money. So that's funny you bring up Mary.
I love that. I'm a girl's girl. I'm all about support. I love men too. Don't get me wrong.
Paul starts laughing right away. Look at that.
But I
never
always
know where this show's going to go.
I only
here.
Love I one man. Let's get be clear. Okay? Honey, I love you.
But really, I love seeing women. Yes. Mm-hmm. Enter these. I actually just had a meeting with a client. She's a new client. We're doing her trust.
Yeah.
And she has got 72 years old, has gone back to work. She's selling Mary Kay.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Everybody at some point or another looks at the opportunity of being an entrepreneur, right? At some point or another. And I know we don't have a lot of time left, but I remember going many years ago to see somebody who was like a great speaker. He's a Cuban guy. And we had a little sports video production company. So we would go film events that they would hire us. And he would say how important it was to learn how, as kids growing up in the US at the time, a lot of us weren't being taught to be entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. But in other countries, you have no choice. You have to be an entrepreneur. And as I would listen to him, I would picture my cousins who live in Mexico, who owned a lot of businesses because my uncle raised them to be entrepreneurs. And so now, as I just hit 50, I hear so much more about, even now universities are incorporating entrepreneur classes, right? Mm-hmm. We're teaching our kids more of that. So the entrepreneur spirit is one of the things he used to always talk about. It's so important. So you guys, we want to admit it, we're all entrepreneurs at some point or another.
I knew I always had it on me, but again, it always, fear stops us, right?
Of course.
Continue to want to grow and take those.
If I can say one thing, fear is only false evidence appearing real.
100%.
Wow. Well, oh, look 100%. At that. Look at that one. That's interesting.
You
should
say that on ChatGPT, because listen.
It's funny.
I chatted that with my boyfriend.
It's funny you say ChatGPT. I just, this morning on ChatGPT, I launched our family cookbook.
I love it.
So my wife and I everybody watches us on Instagram doing cooking all the time. My boys love to barbecue. And so everybody would always like, can we get that recipe? Can we get that recipe? And I would always tell people, we're going to launch a cookbook one day. So this morning we actually launched it.
Oh, congratulations.
And I utilized ChatGPT.
Congratulations. Yeah. Yeah. That's
more
awesome.
Entrepreneurial.
I'm writing a book right now, actually.
Of course.
So.
That's why you're making me like that.
Mine is coming up, okay? And it's a movie and everything.
I got to keep you on your toes, girl.
Why are you making it look bad?
I know. It's like,
you guys are doing it.
And what's the book about?
What's the book about? Before we go, because we only got 2 minutes.
You can't drop that.
He already gave me the stinky eye that we got to go, even though he took 10 minutes talking about his life.
You took 10 minutes. We need to get 10 minutes.
Yes, Paul.
All right. What's the book about?
Yes. It's thriller. Okay. It's by the pool summer read.
Okay.
Thriller.
Okay.
Like action thriller or like
thriller.
Or telenovela thriller.
It's a telenovela.
Telenovela.
I would say a telenovela. It is.
Soon to be a movie.
Just so you know, Like telenovelas are a big thing in our community. Like
it is.
Like
yeah.
So if it's a telenovela style, that's a good thing, right?
It's gonna be good.
Okay. Okay. We'll look forward to it. We'll bring you back when that's ready, and you can share about the book.
Okay.
And tell us more, and then you can tell us about your movie that's coming up, right?
Of course. Yes.
Ladies, it's been a lot of fun. Thank you for joining our chamber. We look forward to having you guys, obviously, at our events, at our mixers. I know you guys are going to be at the golf tournament. We're looking forward to that at the end of this month. We just want to thank you and appreciate you joining our chamber. And it just means a lot to us to have women that are hard workers, entrepreneurs that are wanting to be part of our team.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Folks, there you have it. Tune in again every Wednesday at 12 o'clock here at, of course, our community podcast show powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce at OC Talk Radio, where our community is your community. Thank you, folks. Bye. See you next week.
Bye.
There you have one more reason to tune in. A bunch of reasons to tune in. We heard it all today here on our community, streaming live from our radio station here at UCI's Beal Applied Innovation Center.